We got to come up with something better than... So we've not been using the guitar riff that we started with.
Yeah, right.
Mostly because we're lazy.
Well, or because I can't find it.
mostly due to laziness or incompetence. We haven't been using the guitar riff. But what I think we need is like a real intro.
Yeah.
Any creative fans.
Well, wasn't our boy DJ Ronnie Ruff going to make us one?
I'm working on him. Okay. Another more laziness and incompetence just throughout. So I'm gonna have to get on him.
The subtitle of this podcast.
Yeah,
Trash Talk subtitle.
A lazy look at the media of sports. So we're back. If you didn't listen last week, I highly recommend you do, because I can't speak, obviously, but we had another guest in, Lucy Burge. What'd you think of Lucy, Dan?
Lucy was awesome.
I thought she was very good,
right? She was awesome, yeah.
I spoke to her after the show about coming on somewhat regularly, not every week or anything, but here and there. Like, if she ever has anything she's interested in talking about, or if the show's a little boring and I need someone to pick up the slack.
Are you saying I'm boring?
Well, I didn't say that in so many words. However you want to infer it. But
well, that's what I'm taking it as.
Well, you're not wrong. But no, I honestly think I like having a third voice. I thought that was a real conversation.
Yeah, you
know
what
good. I mean, that the three of us had.
It was
where
good.
It was kind of, we didn't have to necessarily stick to the script of what we were doing. She was very natural. I'm going to get those John Dennis texts out of her eventually.
Yeah,
That's more incentive for having her back.
Mike, I think once we're allowed to go a little longer than our time frame, I think she'd be great.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, yeah.
So, Lucy Burge, we'll be back on it. If you didn't catch her last week, I recommend you do. So
she followed me on Twitter, by the way. We're best friends.
Did she?
Yeah.
Well, she followed me first, so, I mean, we're much closer.
All
than
right,
you two.
Fine.
Well, I'm just saying.
All right.
So, the other nice thing about us uploading this is we can put it out right away. So
yeah.
Now if we record on Thursday, it's out on Thursday. So it won't seem dated that we're talking about last night's Red Sox-Yankees brawl.
Rivalry is back.
It is. Well, that's what they're saying. You know what annoys me just as much as when people are like immediately like, well, the rivalry's back. Everyone says it on Twitter. What's equally annoying is the people like, well, I guess I'll be the first, like sarcastically saying it. It's like, you're no different than the people fucking saying it.
Yeah.
Get a hold of yourself. You're no funnier than them just because you noticed that everyone's saying it.
I mean, this shouldn't really come as a surprise either, you know, that that Red Sox Yankees is getting more attention. I mean, with everything that happened over the winter, Stanton going to the Yankees, Martinez, the Red Sox eventually signing him. You knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, but baseball is more boring now, or it feels more boring because of the world we live in. So I think a good fight is good.
I do too. I love base brawls.
Yes, well, who
like
doesn't?
That? You like that pun?
It's very, very cute.
Don't call me boring.
It's very cute. I take it back. God, you've proven me wrong. How dare I? So a good baseball fight is good. However, our favorite broadcast team didn't seem to care for it.
Oh, they were. And that is John Sterling and Susan Waldman, which I hinted at. You can just call me Nostradamus, Mike, because last week I said I think this is going to become a weekly thing with John Sterling. And
yeah.
Back-to-back weeks, here we are. So let's set the scene, right? Joe Kelly hits Tyler Austin in the armpit rib area.
Yeah.
Right?
Nowhere near his head.
Okay. I don't think taking a fastball to that area would end your life, do you?
Well, it ended a few of my buddies.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I stand corrected.
But for the most part, it's very rare from what I hear.
All right. So anyways, this was in retaliation because Tyler Austin slid into second base Wednesday night. Spikes up. Kind of spiked Brock Holt a little bit. So the Red Sox pitcher decided to retaliate, and here is the call from WFAN.
Had it hit him. Austin slammed his bat on the ground, now heads toward the mound, and he's ready to swing. He and Kelly go down on the ground, both benches empty. We have a brawl in Boston.
And it's gonna be a slobber knocker.
Austin had slid hard into Holt, and so Kelly hit him with a pitch, and Austin charged the mound.
Look, there's payback and there's payback. You don't hit a batter there throwing 98 miles an hour. You just don't do that. That's his life. Never mind his career. That's his life. Are you kidding me?
Mike.
Let's all take a few moments and thank whatever higher being you believe in that Tyler Austin is still alive today. We were all very worried.
Well, yeah, especially after he did take a couple pops to the face afterwards in that brawl.
That's right. Joe Kelly swinging.
Yeah.
So, first of all, does anyone really think his life was in danger? That's his life that we're talking about. Susan, fucking relax. Now, when Dan texted me this morning and said there's some good Susan Waldman audio, I was a little disappointed when I found out there was no... I like Screechy Susan much better than...
Roger Clemens is now a Yankee! Oh, my God!
I like Screechy Susan much more than compassionate, subdued... I don't like subdued Susan. Oh, my goodness. I don't
righteous
blame. I don't blame him. Yeah, righteous Susan. I don't blame the man for being angered. It's like it's a fucking baseball fight.
Well, you know what? There is
get a hold of yourself.
You know what she should be angry about?
What's that?
Her... co-broadcast partners, home run calls.
Well, that should anger all of us more than it does. It makes me laugh. But
so a quick refresher.
Yeah.
John Sterling's Giancarlo Stanton's home run call, because Stanton has an Italian name,
right?
But he's not Italian. So here,
Giancarlo, non si può stopparlo.
Right.
So instead of saying I fucked up,
he decides to take it to the next level, which, I mean, Mike, I kind of respect the, you know, if I'm going to be an idiot, might as well just fully take it to the next level.
Well, I don't, I'll tell you why I don't respect that aspect of John Sterling, because that's not what he's thinking. He's thinking, oh boy, all the eyes, everyone wants to know what old John is going to do next. I really hate that in his mind he's become the Yankees.
So.
Like, people are listening to that broadcast for him, not for the game.
Yeah. But anyway, so, or it's kind of like that thing where he's probably like, yeah, I'm going to convince, everybody thinks he's Italian. I'm going to make everybody think of him. He's Italian. So anyways, Sterling did an interview with the New York Post earlier this week where he says that if Giancarlo Stanton ever hits another home run.
Ever, yeah.
Ever.
It might happen.
Which, I don't know, he's striking out quite a bit. So, Yankees play-by-play, John Sterling is ready to unveil a new signature call for last year's National League MVP. Sterling told the Post he will sing. Saying,
oh, thank God.
Non domesticar. That ball sure travels far. That
it's
line.
It's cute.
That line, Mike, in Italian, is from a Dean Martin Nat King Cole song. Non domesticar means do not forget. So let me set the scene for you.
Yeah.
It's a lovely late June afternoon in the Bronx.
Mm.
Reigning National League MVP, Giancarlo Stanton, steps up to the plate.
Very romantic. I'm liking it. And?
After striking out three times already in the game.
Okay.
He gets a fastball.
That's it. That's the thing about this John Sterling shit is like, when they're losing 14-1, he'll still do it. baffling to me.
So anyways, Stanton gets a fastball right down the middle. He sends it into the bleachers at Yankee Stadium. And if you will, I'll let our man Nat King Cole take it away.
Okay. Will he have the piano?
No, right?
If there's anything, I imagine the applause will be in quote. In John's mind, that applause will be part of it. In his mind, it's the 50,000 people at Yankee Stadium looking up at him when a home run happens. What's John going to say? Oh, yes, excellent. Good job, Johnny. That is... Now, people call baseball boring, and I'm a lifelong baseball fan. I'm one of the... You and I are two of the few people in their 20s that still give a shit about baseball.
Yeah.
And... You try to defend it and say, no, it's not boring. You don't understand. You just don't get it. And they're like, oh, yeah? Look at what the Yankees announcer is doing.
Well, yeah.
That's the song he's going to sing. A lullaby to all of us.
Not bad.
When the most exciting moment in the game happens. It's like, come on, John. Yeah, my biggest problem with him, and I was saying this last week, is the look inside the mind that we now do. Like, it's inside the actor's studio or fucking behind the music. He's like, well, you know, here's my process. And what I'm thinking is, if we have a little Italian phrase that rhymes, it will get people into a sense of romance. And then, of course, if you play Dean Martin in the background, it's like, come on. I hope there's production to this if he's going to start singing.
I do like the piano. The idea of the piano would be nice.
Susan tickling the ivories. Oh, John! Take it away!
We go from righteous Susan to musical Susan.
I love that version much more, because subdued Susan didn't do it for me. It was very disappointing, and yeah, just getting high and mighty about a fucking hit batsman. And this bothered me a little. I heard KNC this morning. It was odd. It was very rarely do I hear them put up a straw man argument, but it felt like that's what they were doing this morning, because they were arguing. They were saying, like, you should be able to. Hit batters, like, we don't give a fuck about that.
Right.
But,
part of the unwritten rules of the game.
Yeah, who cares? But they're saying, what does it solve? It's almost a discussion you have on, like, NPR. Like, hey, it's soccer mom talk. What does it solve? What does violence ever solve? It doesn't solve anything, but sometimes you got to do it. If you're at a bar and someone's mouthing off to you, sometimes you got to hit them in the face. It doesn't mean it solves anything. We don't solve anything with our fists. I was very, particularly Callahan, I was very surprised to hear him kind of take that stance. But, you know, we don't talk about WEI here. We talk about outside.
Have you been in a bar fight?
Yeah, sort of. Not really, like, yes. Like, my buddy has, and I've thrown a few jabs.
That's so your really buddy was in a fight.
yeah. And okay. I snuck a few punches in and scurried away like a fucking weasel.
Well, what did that solve?
And it solved nothing.
All right.
So they're not wrong, necessarily, but who cares?
But I like to see it. It's entertaining.
Exactly, yeah. That's, if you want to bring people to baseball, that's what you need more of. Entertaining shit like that. And not necessarily a fight every night, because then it becomes WWE. But, you know, guys mouthing off to each other or thrown inside. That's entertaining on some level. Yeah. So that's why last night was entertaining. If David Price faked an injury and left in the first inning, usually you're going to have a boring game.
It made
last night fun.
I saw a tweet. I don't have the drop here, but Happy Gilmore, one of the ladies in the nursing home, my fingers hurt.
Yeah, that's perfect. I had tickled fingers or whatever the fuck, tingly fingers.
Yes.
Oh, fucking David Price. Anyways, this isn't a baseball show. But I do want to talk about the other baseball broadcast. You know, we make fun of the Yankees announcers enough. But the Red Sox broadcast is, it really bothers me how boring and family-oriented it's gotten.
Eck will be back Friday. He's back. Well, Eck's back Friday.
Color commentary is not my problem. I like Remy still. Remy's still good, I think. And I think Eckersley is the best they've got. He just doesn't want to do it 162. I think...
Well, you're gonna have 4 nights of Johnny Gomes next week too.
Oh, Jesus Christ! But Dave O'Brien, Eckersley, and Remy—if you had that—that's a professional booth. That's a good booth.
Yeah, they started doing that in September last year, and it was really good.
And then Eckersley can kind of joke with Remy a little more, so I feel like Dave O'Brien won't feel the pressure to be the funny guy. That's my problem with Dave O'Brien. He's a good broadcast. He's a good play-by-play guy. But my beef with him, other than the fact that he lisps his S's or whatever that he whistles his S's,
swinging them.
But other than that, my only real problem with him is it seems like he tried to come in and was like, okay, Don Orsillo was the funny guy, and Don and Jerry had this chemistry. I'm gonna try and be that. He's not funny. He's a dork. He's a fucking dork. So, you know, just be a dork and call the game. But there should be another guy in there like Eckersley that can kind of shoot the shit with Remy. That would make that more entertaining. And I've told you my. My idea that'll revolutionize broadcasting is when you have the option for the R-rated broadcast.
Yeah, like the SAP button.
Yeah, exactly. You switch over to fucking Portnoy and Bill Burr. Oh, that is, by the way, Rough and Rowdy is Friday, and I'm just gonna cry my fucking self to sleep.
You're not going?
Bill Burr's gonna be no. I'm not going. The next one, maybe. Hype it up, folks.
I think he's messing with you.
The next one will find a state where a blind man is allowed to fight. That's my goal. You told me you had some complaints about the Nesson broadcast.
Yeah, listen, I get it. Jordan's Furniture, they're paying a shit ton of money.
Yes, before you say anything, I don't know where else they sponsor,
yeah.
But I will say that is a great deal. You know?
That's Yeah, you know, after July 16th or whatever, if the Sox throw a no-hitter and you bought furniture before that, you're going to get it for free.
Right.
Anyway, so.
But Jordan's Furniture's fault. That's a good deal that should be promoted.
But anyways, the what's his name? Gabriel? Is that his name?
I don't know. Elliot.
Elliot.
Yeah.
From Jordan's Furniture. I don't know where I got Gabriel from. But anyways, during the fifth inning the other night, I'm watching the game, and then I don't know if they've done this. The entire homestand so far, but...
No, but they do it once in a while.
But he's sitting on the monster, and they, like, zoom up to the monster, and he's got, like, a TV set up there, and he's, like, talking about his deal for the entire commercial break, and I'm like, what the hell is this?
And then, Dave O'Brien hops in, and is like, Jer, don't you think that's a great deal?
You gotta get some furniture?
It's like, there's a way you can do that doesn't seem so phony and forced.
Yeah.
Because I remember they did it with, like, Joseph Aboud or something, too. And again, I don't want to make it seem like I'm trashing anyone's lovely sponsors. They're all terrific.
Yes.
But my point is that the way that Nesson orchestrates that, it's very unnatural. It distracts from the game.
And I'd be pissed if I was, like, the guy sitting in the second row there of the monster seats, and I got a big tent going up in front of me now, because Elliot's got to get his 2.5 minutes in.
But even if you just admitted what you were doing, and it was like, you know what, guys, we're gonna take a couple minutes and we gotta talk about our sponsors. That's more acceptable than trying to make it seem like, hey, apropos of nothing, we're just gonna mention this sponsor and talk about him for an entire inning. It's very weird. Like yeah. I hope they don't start making that a regular thing.
Is that better or worse than the fifth inning show or whatever?
My god, the fifth inning show is
when
an abomination.
Cut the studio.
The mid fifth show.
Mid fifth.
Let's not do it any disservice. It's the mid fifth show.
Mid fifth.
That is like, I guess they're trying to be. They're trying to have less ads. So their big idea other sports have halftime shows. Let's do that. Here's the problem. People's problem with baseball aren't the ads necessarily. It's not the idea of ads. We all understand that there's a middle of an inning. You're going to cut the commercial. You need to make money. We all get it. The idea of having a break in the game is not our problem. It's the fact that games sometimes take 4 hours. So cutting to commercial is not the problem. And when you substitute that with just a boring recap of the game we're already watching, like we know what's happening in the game, and even if you missed it, you can go on Twitter and Instagram and find the highlights very quickly. So you don't need the mid-fifth show to update you. And it's just more boring programming out of Nesson. It's almost like they don't care. Like they complain about ratings are down 20% last year.
It's like interjecting their like website's like 2 minute like recap of the day.
Yeah,
you
can't be both. You can't be this network that is focused on ratings and ratings driven, and you pretend like you give a shit about ratings, and then when you don't get ratings, put on programs like Small Talk, where it's the kid.
Dustin Pedroia, who was your favorite player when you were a kid?
Okay, all right, kid. No one wants to watch that. It's cute. I get it. It's fine for Sunday morning or whatever. But no one wants to watch that shit.
I thought you were a big fan of Sox Kids Clubhouse.
You know, when Gary Streisky was on, it really had a warm place in my... I'd put on my feety pajamas and I'd get my Pop-Tarts and I'd simmer down on a... hunker down on a Sunday morning and watch the Clubhouse. But ever since Gary Streisky left, you know, it just hasn't been the same. It's kind of like when Bob Barker left the Price is Right. It's not the same anymore, no. You know?
Drew Carey doesn't do it for you?
No. And, oh, Garen Austin annoys me too.
Yeah.
I find her voice annoying. I find her... it's not necessarily her fault. You know what? Garen Austin doesn't annoy me as much as the idea of a sideline reporter annoys me. Because I don't think Garen Austin is particularly good. But it's like, what are they asking her to do? She's doing what she's asked. You know, she's just a bore and that whole thing. The whole idea that it's like, well, we're going to send it down to Garen Austin to talk to a fan. It's like, who wants to see that shit? I don't know.
I like when they make TC sit on the steps somewhere.
If that's not a slap in the face. The guy's been there for 20 years.
Sometimes you see him out in left field, out in like the third baseline. He's just sitting on the stairs trying to talk to someone.
And he's like, well, hey, guys, did you know that Mookie Betts likes to bowl? It's like, oh, my goodness. What a crazy time to be alive.
All right, anyway.
So Nesson's broadcast is a bore. At least the Yankees have something interesting to listen to. We don't even really have that. Who's the best play-by-play duo in the city, do you think? Is it still Gorman and Tommy? It's got to be, right? There's really no one else.
No, they've been annoying me.
Really?
They've been annoying me from a producer standpoint of trying to cut up a clip from the game.
What a dork.
No, I'm going to go with... I got to go across the street.
No. We don't do that here. We don't praise them here.
Okay. Well, you asked.
What, Zolak?
Zo and Sosie.
Zolak is very... It's like too much of a character now for me. And Sosie's voice is a little weak for play-by-play. They probably should have hired Tangway. But,
Touchdown.
Exactly. It's holy gronkanoli, whatever the fuck he says. But Zolak is too much of a character.
They tried the two of them together on a show once, remember? Didn't really work out.
I was very highly rated.
It didn't work out too well.
But Zolak, the show pony stuff when it first happened was funny, but I feel like now it's too much like trying to be that wild and crazy yelling guy.
No, it's still not Jack.
It's like, all right. Well, Jack's the same. Yeah. Where it's like, when you have success with a couple things, like Tommy's not phony. Heinsohn's not phony bias. Like, the best part of a Celtics broadcast is not when Tommy yells and screams. It's when there's a call against the Celtics and you hear him muffled, oh, Christ. That's my favorite part about Tommy Heinsohn, is a more subdued thing. And I feel like Zolak doesn't have that. It's too much of an act for me.
All right.
But anyways, speaking of putting on an act, Jesus Christ, in... A sad display. We didn't talk about this with Lucy last week, but the ratings for one of the highest promoted or the most promoted shows other than the six, I would say, in ESPN history. Get Up. What a failure.
And that's a segue into our next topic.
Yes, I'm moving right along. Thank you, Michelle. It's shit like that where I said before the show started, before Get Up started as a program, I took any blame off Beatle. I said, this will be Greenberg's flaw. But from the things I've seen on that show, Beatle has been an abomination. I think Michelle Beatle is very funny. But the problem with... So here's what ruined Morning Zoo Radio. Was Howard... Robin Quivers ruined Morning Radio. And now it seems like she's ruined Morning TV. Through no fault of her own. But Robin Quivers' role on the Howard Stern show was kind of the voice of the women who would kind of keep Howard in line a little bit. But what a lot of network executives don't realize is that what Robin was doing was not keeping Howard Stern in line. It was the appearance of keeping Howard. It was Howard would say something ridiculous and she would say, "Oh, Howard." But they would keep going. They would keep going down that road. What happened to Morning Zoo is they saw that and they said, well, you need the girl to keep the guys in line. So women have been put into... They've been cast into this where they have to be that now on Morning Zoo type radio where it's like, oh, guys, come on, and they stop the fun. And it seems like that's what Michelle Beadle has become on this show. Like, there's that clip of that.
Wasn't that what she was on Sports Nation with Cowherd and...
I never really watched.
And Wiley, too?
See, so my impression of Michelle Beadle was entirely developed around podcast appearances. Like, I heard her on a few podcasts when she was... It seemed like more herself. And I was like, okay, I like her. Like, she could be good. But it seems like, and I never really watched Sports Nation, but maybe she was like that on that show, too.
Yeah, who watched ESPN, too.
Exactly.
At 4:30.
But it seems like she's...
Not me.
She's slid into that role of being like, guys, come on, let's not get too crazy here. Like, when they went into 1 second of mentioning Donald Trump, and she goes, oh, no, time out. We don't talk about that here. That's bad boy.
Hang on.
And there you go. The tie is broken, boys.
I wanted to be the guy to ask him his favorite skit about our commander-in-chief, but I probably shouldn't, huh?
No, yeah, what are you doing? We're not doing this. Go to timeout. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, I love this.
And so then they all have to fake laugh. Oh, Michelle. But it's like, no. Go there. God forbid Jalen Rose says something interesting. What? God forbid someone on that show throws out one thing interesting. And she immediately slams the brakes on it. And that's another problem with TV. Like, in radio, you can, and you hear it a lot with the morning show here, Kirk and Callahan, where if they get into something interesting, they'll go a little later on breaks. In TV, you never see that, where it's like, hey, we're on an interesting topic. We have to break now, or we have to go to this boring segment. It's like, why? That's the way they did in the fucking 70s when there were three channels. Now you can talk about more free form. They talk about whatever you want. And then it's the producer's job to kind of, you know,
well,
fix that.
I think on TV, the advertisers pay for the specific times.
I know.
We're on radio, they pay for
it. What I'm saying is, and I understand that, yeah. But what I'm saying is make a deal with the advertisers that, hey, we might go for 40 minutes and we'll play. I understand that the advertisers aren't going to like that, but if you do a show that's worth a shit, they're going to say, all right, we're still going to advertise with you.
Well, is this one, Mike?
Let's hear it.
Is this show?
Oh, is this program? I mean, I think it is. Judged by my reaction to your question, no. I'm a fucking asshole that doesn't know what he's doing.
All right, anyway.
But no, I think we should get some spots. Dan, let me ask you this. Why don't you come up with... Why don't you bring things to me like, Mike, why don't we have a word of the day?
Oh, I mean, we toyed with it a couple weeks ago. But yeah. Then, you know, neither one of us are...
That's a great bit that was come up... Another
brand new.
Another Morning Zoo radio show came up with it 40 years ago. And this show that claims they're going to revolutionize broadcasting came up with it again. And what was the word of the week this Monday, Dan?
All right, it's a Monday edition of Greeny's Word of the Day. Everyone had a terrific weekend. I got to sneak a word into the conversation today, courtesy of Kayla Johnson. Kayla, what's our word?
Blandishment.
Poor Kayla. Kayla Johnson. Poor Kayla Johnson.
I'm sorry?
Blandishment.
Oh, Greeny doesn't know
blandishment.
What it is.
Blandishment. None?
So not bland.
Well, not bland.
Not blandish. The blandish mint.
Yeah, you heard her. It's a word you don't know. That's the whole premise of the bit.
Okay. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks
I appreciate it. I think I would require a full body blandishment if I was going to do that myself.
That can't all right. Right.
First of all, the whole idea of the bit is you're working in a word you don't know. So why do you have to go through this little act of, Well, I've never heard this. It's like, yeah, that's the fucking idea. If you're going to do it, at least be somewhat real with it. But I don't know. Is that just on social media? Do they acknowledge it when it's like they have a gong that they ring? And that's Greeny's word of the day, folks.
I couldn't tell you. I'm working during that time.
You're one of the billions of people that aren't watching
the
show?
No, I work for our sister station during the morning, so no, I do not.
It's very weird that they built it up like we're going to... Here's my advice, if any of you folks listening ever get the chance to do a TV show or a radio show, don't sell it with... We're going to revolutionize. We're going to change everything. We're going to change the way the game is done. Because every show I've ever heard say that then comes in and they're fucking Mike Salk or they're Mike Greenberg and they're just a bore who's going to do it the exact same way everyone else has done it throughout the history of time. It's ridiculous. It's weird. So don't build it up like that if you're going to do the same shit everyone's been doing. So that the other weird thing they do is they have... Like, last week they had Booger McFarlane all week, and this week it's Damian Woody. Is that their way of shaking things up? It's like, hey, it's us three, but we're going to have a fourth guy to tell us we're crazy. It's a weird way of doing things. Because the first week I was like, why didn't they promote Booger McFarlane was going to be on at all?
You know, they want to bring it, make things interesting.
Yeah.
Bring on Golic. Let's get that tension right out in the air.
You know what? What they should do, and genuinely, like, you're laughing, but... They should bring on Golic and have a segment. Why did Mike and Mike break up? Why do we hate each other?
Why is Greeny a bitch?
Why do we hate each other now? And that would be so entertaining. I'd watch that. I'd make an appointment. That would be appointment viewing, as a program director would say. That's something I would watch.
Do you think that 30 for 30 will be interesting when that comes out?
They're doing one?
No, I don't know. I'm just saying eventually.
No, it won't be. It won't be because they'll lie. Here will be the big omission on that show. They'll say, you know, sometimes we didn't always get along, but at the end of the day, we respected each other. That'll be the big admittance. Like, can you believe once in a while we argued?
Or they'll have the you know, if it'll be slightly interesting, and then they'll cut it down to just a half hour, like they did with Mike and the Mad Dog.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
That one. Like, that's the only time coming out of a 30 for 30. I was like, I wanted more.
Although I'll say this with the Mike and the Mad Dog thing. That might not be as interesting as we want it to be, because I really believe that Mike and the Mad Dog genuinely hated each other because they disagreed about the fucking Jets.
Maybe.
or something real stupid like that. Maybe. Because that's how they explain it, but it's like, yeah, we disagreed about a pitching change in fucking 1993 that the Mets made.
Maybe. I mean,
we didn't speak to each other.
I'd like that.
Months.
I would like that.
I could see that.
If that was the reason why. I
know more than this asshole.
What are you talking about?
I gotta give him credit, Mikey.
But anyways, maybe I don't even know if they ever did make a 30 for 30 on Mike and Mike, if it would even be watchable. Because,
it wouldn't be.
Because
not an interesting show.
Well, no,
so why
I'm saying, like, would you actually be able to view it? Because did you see what they did with their latest 30 for 30?
No.
The Bobby Knight one that came out this week?
Oh, I saw something about
this. Yeah, they're putting it on their new app that you have to pay $5.99 a month for.
That not worth it, folks.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking forward to watch Bobby Knight throw the chair across the court and scream at people. And
so here's the mistake a lot of services are making now, is they're seeing the success of Netflix and all these other streaming sites, and they're saying, okay, that's what we have to do now. We have to be a subscriber-based online platform. That's great. Take the advice of your successors. The problem is you have to have interesting shit on there.
And it doesn't work with the sports genre either.
And it doesn't. Because I might watch a Bobby Knight documentary if it's on.
Right.
I'm not gonna pay $6 a month for it.
Yeah.
It's like, who gives a shit, really? And I don't know.
Sell the rights to sell it to Netflix.
Right.
Wait, make Netflix pay you for it.
Right.
When all the other 30 for 30s used to be on there, why'd you stop doing that?
Because they want people to go to their own streaming.
Oh, well, Disney's starting their own. That's right, because they're...
See, if Disney had... Now, that's...
Disney's backing out of the deal, and Disney's going to have their own.
If Disney has their own, then that'll be that'll be worth paying for,
and you have
because it'll be all of Disney's movies and all that shit.
And then ESPN will be a part of that, because they are a part of the Disney company.
Right. So that would be worth paying for. But these smaller outlets, like Bedard's website, which has got to be just the same horse shit you get everywhere else.
Did you subscribe to The Athletic yet?
I didn't. No. Evangelical signed me up.
You get a free T-shirt.
Well, that's very enticing.
It's green. It says The Athletic Boston.
So, it's my problem with The Athletic too. But The one I know, because I hear Bedard on Felger and Maz, and it is just a snooze fest. The A in Greg A. Bedard must stand for Ambien, because it is just a complete fucking bore. And the big promotion for that site is like, well, hey, if you like falling asleep at the wheel for the 2 hours he's on Felger and Maz, pay $8 a month to read an even more boring form of media is reading. You can read this drivel for $6 a month or whatever that robbery is there. And it's the same as you can get at the Globe or the Herald. The Globe is also shit. But
they're all leaving.
Yeah, but anywhere else you can get it for free. Go to Barstool. You'll be entertained. And you'll get the gist of the news. I realize it's not real reporting, but you'll have an idea of what's going on.
Or if you want
to read WEI.com.
Yeah. If you want to read more, Barstool will post the link to the
Yeah, right. Right. So when there's free outlets doing the same, like if Hulu was doing the exact same as Netflix but for free, Hulu would be dominating right now because that's where people would go. If there's someone doing the same thing you are for free, it's not worth it to make a paid service for it. That would be my advice to ESPN. It's sad.
Well, I don't know. Is Crackle dominating?
No, but they don't have the same content is what I'm saying.
Right, but they...
I'm saying if all of Netflix shit was on there, if everything that Netflix offered was on there, then it would be. And what I'm saying is services like Bedard's site and what ESPN's thing will be, so many other services will be offering the same stuff. So they've got to have interesting content on there. That's where they should have put the Barstool show, that Barstool Van Talk. It should have been on a subscriber. If they wanted to launch a subscriber-based thing, you hold off on the Barstool thing, you make people pay for it, and then they can do whatever the fuck they want. You know how many Barstool fans would pay $6 a month for that?
Oh, I'm sure.
A bunch. Just out of loyalty.
Yeah.
Which is something ESPN doesn't have. ESPN fans don't have. They don't give a shit about ESPN. They would get the Barstool fans paying for that, which you'll see on that Rough and Rowdy. They'll get 40,000 views instantly. So, enough with the streaming services because they don't know how to do it. It's amazing that I could run ESPN, genuinely, I could run ESPN better than the people that are doing it right now.
And not on cocaine.
Right. Well, you know, I might need some of it. I gotta stay up long hours, you know? How am I going to do it? So, anyways, enough of Get Up. Well, I'm sure there will be plenty to bash them. Well, maybe not. What do you think you told me KNC did this bit, which I didn't realize. But you've heard a little bit of that CMB, that show that took over Francesa.
Yeah.
Do you think they last longer than Get Up?
No.
You don't think they do?
No, I think Get Up's going to last longer because of the
people said because of the money they put into it.
I mean, how long? The six lasted, what, 18 months?
I think in radio... Oh, well, that's my point, is that the six lasted 18 months. I think this show might end go 2 years or 1 year. I think CMB will last longer because I think radio is often very lazy, which is
fair.
How we got a job here.
Fair.
Radio is often very lazy. So that show, they could sit there and do nothing. Believe me, there are afternoon shows I've heard that sit there and do nothing for 4 or 5 hours at a time. And people still listen because it's sports talk in a big market, so people are going to listen because there are limited options. I don't know. That's the thing is, I don't know CMB's ratings. I'd like to see that, but I would think people are just tuning in because it's still it's something you're not getting everywhere. I guess it's sports talk, which isn't on every station like music. So, and people are just used to going to Francesa's show, so they still do it. People get in habits. I think CMB will last longer because they'll skate by.
Do you think there's some people that listen to that show that like don't know that's a new show and they're wondering when Mike's getting back from vacation?
Where the hell is the Pope? Where's Francesa? This is awful. Yeah, there's got to be people that just pop in once in a while. They're like, damn it, I can't catch Francesa.
It's been 4 months. He's out every day.
This guy gets a lot of vacation time. So yeah, my prediction, CMB will skate through, I think, for 2 years. I'm giving him 2 years. Because I bet they signed a 2-year contract. I don't know why, but I noticed that's a theme in radio that they don't do 1-year contracts as often as like TV does. So I think they're going to slide by for a while. Anyways, someone who may not slide by, which is baffling to me. I guess I'm going to argue with Dan on this one, judging by your reaction to it when we played it, cutting it up. An Oklahoma City Thunder broadcaster threw out a very common phrase that my father has used yelling at me many times because he's an old nerd. So I've heard it throughout my childhood, and it didn't strike me as a provocative phrase at all, but it has people up in arms Brian Davis is the guy's name?
Brian right? Davis.
Brian Davis. Calling Russell Westbrook, who was apparently on fire in the Oklahoma City Thunder game the other night. Oh, Dan.
Hang on. I thought you were going to want the Beetle drop of the Segui again. So
I that would have been nice.
I had that ready, but you talked too much. You talked too much. I didn't have a spot for it. So anyway,
God damn it. Brian Davis. All right, here's Brian Davis.
Russell looking for Ferguson in the corner for three. Bam! Westbrook is out of his cotton-picking mind.
Now that, when you heard that, you were like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The white broadcaster calling a African-American athlete.
Now, you... And the others that are outraged by this.
I'm not outraged. I'm just saying, yeah, you can't do that.
But here's my
thing. It takes a lot to make me outraged.
Here's my thing, though, is the people that thought of that immediately might be much more racist than Brian Davis. Because obviously, that didn't come across Brian Davis's mind at all. Brian Davis is just a bland announcer, I'm guessing, wants to keep his job. If he thought for a second... Oh, shit, that's right. Slavery could be invoked from this. Obviously, he didn't think of that.
So
I think everyone that thought of that immediately is probably a little more racist than me and Brian Davis.
So, I obviously did not watch the Monday night Oklahoma City Thunder game. I don't have the NBA League pass. I got rid of it this year.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So anyways, when I saw this clip, it was the headline, Oklahoma City announcer or broadcaster calls Russell Westbrook cotton-picking. Have a
see, that's
head.
The thing. He didn't call him that.
But that's the headline that I see.
I
first.
Know.
I read the headline first, and then I watch.
That's
the
what
video.
Everyone does.
So that is automatically what's at the top of my mind.
If you're not a pro like me, old Mike Geary, really getting down to business, digging in those articles. Most other people, including me, when I'm not like if I'm doing work for this show, I'll read the shit because I feel like I have to. But if I'm just like scrolling for news, that's what I do too. I just read the tweet or the headline or whatever and say, well, I guess this guy's a criminal or I guess this guy's a racist or whatever. I draw my conclusions from headlines 90% of the time. So that's what most people do. So most people just paint this guy as a racist now and they think he called Russell Westbrook a slave. And let me remind you, as your boy Mike Hsu from the Hillman program reminded me, there have been white slaves and there were white cotton pickers in the Depression era. So... Who knows what Brian Davis was referring to? But no, it's obviously there was no ill intent meant if you listen to that clip. He's saying Russell Westbrook's going off. And he's an old nerd like Dave O'Brien. So they use these old nerdy phrases that it just slips out. They fired out. And we'll close the show on an example of why Brian Davis shouldn't be in trouble. Because sometimes broadcasters just throw shit out there. I do it on this show all the time where... I listened back to last week's episode, and I kept saying, I was trying to say that you can't be blamed for not uploading the episode, because it was my fault, because I trusted you. And I kept saying, I can't be blamed. And I was saying it wrong when I listened back. I was like, I must sound like a fucking idiot.
Well, I didn't want to tell you.
But it's that I have too many yes men around me. But no, so, like sometimes when you're talking and you're in a rant like that, or you're in the heat of the moment, as I'm sure Brian Davis was, you just throw shit out there and you're not realizing, oh dear, there could be a connotation to this that I don't intend. So now people are saying that Brian Davis could get fired for this? That's out. I hope that Russell Westbrook has some sort of class.
He didn't even hear it. Well, he didn't even hear
no, but I'm sure people have asked him about it now. If this guy's job is in jeopardy, or he's going to get suspended or whatever dumb shit they want to do to him, Russell Westbrook could save the guy by being like, obviously that's not what he meant. So hopefully Russell Westbrook does that. But it's like, really, guys, is that the shit we're going to get offended by now? Is injecting our own thoughts into what a guy meant when he was doing play-by-play for a game? It's sad. And like I said... I think that says more about you who got offended by it. Not you, but you, the collective.
Oh, no, you're talking about me.
You specifically. No, the collective you that got offended by it, that your minds immediately went there to race. You're probably a lot more focused on it than Brian Davis is.
Well, I'll tell you what immediately came to my mind when I heard this audio clip, and I didn't really even need a headline for this, yeah. But let's end it with this.
I'm going to tell you about a blowjob. That's right. Artesian will appreciate the local handmade works of art at the Third Degree Glass Factory.
Now, see what I'm saying? See my point? Where it's like,
yeah, what came to your mind right away there, Mike? Like, pervert.
I understand.
Pervert.
Yes, I am a pervert. I'll admit that. But what I'm saying is that guy didn't realize what he was saying. He just fucking said it. And then later was probably like, did I just say blowjob on the air talking about a glass blowing business? So people make mistakes. But that's all I'm saying. Leave Brian Davis alone. Leave that Cardinals broadcaster that was just trying to do an ad read alone.
Mike Shannon.
And he sounded like Jerry Trupiano to me. And that's something I could see Troop saying. Get a blowjob here. Anyways, if you want to do us the honor of giving us a 5-star rating and a solid review, give us a review. Say, hey, Mike, great job. Even if you don't meet him, say terrific job.
You can say Dan, great job, too.
Dan, you loaded the podcast with aplomb this week. You didn't fuck up at all. And, you know, please do that. iTunes and wherever, at WEI.com, the WEI app, anywhere you're listening to this. Tell your pals about it. At @blindmike_ is my Twitter handle. Dan Watkins is at @dwaddy93. And follow Dan because he does a lot of work for this show for no real benefit to him other than helping his buddy out. Does that make up for all the bad things I've been? He cried and made me say a nice thing about him at the end. DWaddy93.
It's okay.
And 5 stars. I always peter out at the end, so I'm not going to do it this week. Goodbye, folks.